This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where it is actually the KNC Masterpiece. And right now, we bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear us, Stephen?
Hello?
Yes, hey. We can hear you.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, good.
Sorry, we just ran into a little bit of a technical snafu there. Our bad.
There you go. All good.
Now, you know, we had the opportunity to talk with you earlier in the week, and we'll get a chance to talk with you next week leading into the draft and everything. I would love your perspective on this. You talked about, you know, money down the line in terms of CD, Micah, Dak, everything like that. We haven't had the draft yet. What do you feel like y'all have accomplished thus far this offseason?
You know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, obviously our preparation for the draft's important. I think adding our linebacker was a big key for us. You know, he knows Mike Zimmer's system really well. I think he'll be a great addition out there on the field in terms of what he can bring leadership to the defense. And then, you know, I think adding, you know, pieces here and there, getting our running back. And yesterday we're, you know, still not through. We'll still do some work. But, you know, you just have to be patient sometimes when you're not going to go out and, you know, and be overly aggressive with the dollars, as I mentioned. Certainly, we've got a lot of dollars earmarked for the three guys that I mentioned the other day.
How much does bringing Mike Zimmer in change your approach to what a Cowboys defensive player looks like? Because it feels like every level kind of changes in some way.
It does. I think anytime you bring in a new coordinator, you're going to have changes. And certainly, Mike brings an edge. You know, coaches in a different way than Dan. Dan was very successful in the way he did it. I think Mike Zimmer's been very successful in this league with the way he does it. And certainly philosophically, you know, I think we'll be, you know, we'll have more of a three linebacker system rather than a two linebacker and a three safety system, which is really what Dan preferred. And, you know, I think the other thing is we'll probably look to be bigger and stronger in the middle. I think obviously, you know, our Achilles heel, I think the last two or three years has been stopping the run. And I think Mike will bring an edge and a philosophy that should help us improve in that area.
Does that also include then needing to invest more capital in that specific area?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we're, I think what Zim, the philosophy Zim brings to the table, I think fits what Mozzie did, which obviously we have a lot of resources tied up in Mozzie between what you pay a first round pick and using the first round pick. I think he fits more into what Zim does than maybe, you know, what Dan was trying to get out of him. So I think that'll be a big plus for us. And then, you know, as we move forward, we'll see what the draft brings in terms of what falls to us and, you know, how we allocate our resources there. But we really like the defensive side of the football. I think Zim, you know, has come in, taking a look at our personnel. We, you know, really like our personnel on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, we lost a couple of starting offensive linemen that we've got to look at. And obviously, we lost Tony Pollard. And we're still looking, you know, at that situation in terms of upgrading that as we move forward.
There's always talk about best player available in every single round. I was really curious if you got into a scenario where the best player available on your board in the first round even was a quarterback, would you pull the trigger on that or would you consider that even though that's not among the needs you just listed?
Yeah, you know, I just think all those are things that you look at as you move forward. It's hard to get out front right now and see what might be there. But certainly, you know, we'll go through all the different possibilities that may happen as we move into next week. Obviously, we've been hard at work getting our board put up and really getting everything sorted out the right way. Next week's a big week for us strategically in terms of, you know, the what ifs and looking at a situation like you just mentioned. If a, you know, if a position falls to us that we feel like, which we do, by the way, you know, feel great at with Dak, and then of course our acquisition of Trey last year. Trey's done nothing but excite us even more as he's worked here all of last season, and then in the off season in terms of his work ethic and you know, his skill levels, we're very pleased with.
You kind of were just diving into that work ethic and skill levels. Can you tell us anything else about the progress y'all have seen from Trey Lance? Because obviously fans don't get to see a lot of the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, he just, you know, he exhibits everything that you would think, you know, a top five pick would exhibit, or a top 10 pick would exhibit, which is what he was in the draft. And that's why we gave up, you know, a significant draft pick to get him. And, you know, what you look for in these quarterbacks is certainly, you know, the work ethic's a must to be successful in this league. It's a very demanding position. And certainly Dak is, you know, I think one of the hardest workers that's ever come through our building. And certainly why he's had the success that he's had. Trey exhibits similar type work ethics. And then obviously Trey's a really good athlete in terms of being able to move around, his athletic ability. And then, you know, finally, the most important thing is his arm. And he's got a very live arm, a very strong arm. And he continues to, you know, improve, you know, with his footwork and his accuracy, and which is what you expect from a young guy coming into the league. So, you know, we're certainly very excited about him. And then, you know, all Cooper Rush did for us when he got an opportunity to help us out when Dak got hurt a couple of years ago is go 5-1, which is, as we all know, is hard to do in this league. So, you know, that's a very strong position for us right now as we head into next year in terms of what we feel about the three quarterbacks that we have on this team.
I like all the things you're saying about Trey there, and I'm kind of curious, because of the value of a fourth round pick, is there like a baseline that you of production or contribution that you kind of need from Trey Lance to justify that fourth round pick being not having it this year?
Well, you know, in a perfect world, that's the hard part about being a backup quarterback. Yeah. Is you know, usually in order for a guy to get a chance to play, you have to have an injury. Cooper certainly took advantage of his opportunity when Dak got hurt. And so, no, I don't think you can necessarily say, hey, you know, we needed this kind of productivity. We know we have him, and it certainly keeps us from having to, at this point, feeling a real need to draft a quarterback. And that's certainly why we gave up the pick. And it certainly makes us sleep better at night knowing that we have the depth at quarterback that we have. I mean, we all know these quarterbacks in the, you know, in our league get hurt. And when they do, you're certainly glad you got the quality that we have at the quarterback position.
Definitely understand the depth and quality at the quarterback position for 2024. None of those players are under contract after that, though. How does that play into your decision-making process?
No, I think that's why we're, you know, what we'll be looking at as we move forward is, you know, as I mentioned, certainly Dak's a priority in terms of his contract. And, you know, certainly we'll be taking a look at Trey. And I know Trey will look at his situation as well in terms of what he, you know, what his options are. And I'm sure a lot of that will depend on, you know, how everything works out with Dak. And certainly Cooper's been a strong backup here for us. But, you know, all those things will just have to play out.
The idea of trading down, trading up, moving around in the draft, I've always been kind of curious about this. When you're trying to trade down, what are you hoping to get the most in like in general, and in specifically with this 24 pick, if you were to trade out of it, what are you hoping to get out of it?
You know, you just want more multiple players. You make a decision that I'd rather have, you know, rather than have two players in the first two rounds, you get three players in the first two rounds. And, you know, as we see the draft unfold, that'll be the decision that we'll have. And certainly the opportunity has to be there. Someone's got to want to come up to get something. And then we've got to make the decision with the players that are left on the board, or we want to get a couple of those players rather than use the pick right there and get one player.
Do you have to wait for that phone call then? Like, if there's, let's say there's five players still on your board that you really like, do you ever call teams below you, or are you like, that's not going to be a good look because they're going to know we want to trade out?
No, I think most of the time when you're going backwards, your phone's ringing. And, you know, now if you want to go up, then you've got to make the initiation to want to make the move to go up and get the player you want to go get. But I would say most of the time, as you said, you know, unless somebody's really wanting to come up, there's really most of the time there's not a lot of value there. I mean, there are a lot of discussions before the draft, you know, that you know which teams are willing to move, and some teams are ahead of time looking for more picks, and sometimes you know, there are teams that saying, hey, if our guy's there and we think he might be there, would you be willing to come out of it? And, you know, and of course, it's a lot of dialogue, but, you know, it's all the above at the end of the day. If you really love a player, we've gone up to get them. If you really like the depth of the draft and what you have on your board, then we've certainly moved down as well. So, you know, it's just all in the preparation, getting your board right, and then you can make good decisions.
And so if we see one of those phone calls on the war room footage and y'all are high-fiving and the dialogue's gone well, then is what we're assuming, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, obviously everybody has their own board. And that's why, you know, after the draft, you see very few folks that, you know, very few teams in this league that aren't pleased because, you know, they've drafted according to their board and they feel good about their players. And, you know, historically we've been able to draft good players. I think we've you know, got a significant number of Pro Bowlers that have come by and through our draft. And, you know, we feel good about the way we set up the draft, and I feel like we're going to have another good draft next Thursday.
Okay.
And Friday and Saturday.
I'm glad you said that about the board, because, you know, we have Broadus on the station. He talks about that a lot, about, you know, window dressing your board and how it's going to look different from somebody else's. The whole world seems to have Caleb Williams as a generational type of quarterback. What do y'all have him kind of labeled as? Do y'all have him up there, or is there a different view on him from y'all's room?
Yeah, we like Caleb a lot. I mean, he's certainly one of the best players on our board, and we certainly like him as a player, and he's had a lot of success. And, you know, I think most people feel like he'll go, you know, very high in this draft, if not the first pick in the draft.
Now, one player that's high on everyone's board in the NFL is Micah Parsons. I'm curious, he was not at OTAs. He does his own thing. Does he walk y'all through why he works out other places? And did you see him getting punched in the stomach by a boxer?
I didn't see him get punched in the stomach by a boxer, but we're certainly aware of what Mike is doing. He communicates well with us. Mike actually sat with Jerry and I at the Super Bowl, and we watched the game with him, and obviously he's a generational type player, and doing a great job, I know, with what he's doing, and I feel good about where he is in the offseason.
The Overshown pick last year, I think a lot of people were very excited. After we saw what he was doing in training camp, there was a lot of excitement there for him too. And I kind of felt like he was out of place, but I trusted Dan Quinn to use him because I thought he was a little undersized. But then he showed that he could play that spot. How much can you put on his plate this season, or what's the realistic expectation there?
I'm sorry, you cut out on me there, guys.
What's the realistic expectation for DeMarvion Overshown?
Oh, Overshown.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We, you know, obviously we were sick when he got hurt because he was going to be a major contributor for us at the linebacker position. And, you know, we see him as being a significant part of this defense. And, you know, it's a big part of why we feel good about our entire defense. There's guys that didn't play at all last year, like an Overshown, or didn't play as much like a Mozzie. That we really feel good about our personnel on the defensive side of the ball. But certainly Overshown fits in with what Mike Zimmer wants to do there at the linebacker position, and feel like he'll be a big contributor in terms of our success on the defensive side of the ball.
The NFL just reinstated five players that got suspended last year for violating the league's gambling policy. the NBA just had a player banned from the game for life. Obviously, we've talked about the gambling world that sports has gotten more and more into. Do you feel like everyone across the league, and especially everyone on the team, is now very familiar with the do's and don'ts of gambling when it comes to the NFL's policy?
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, we educate our players, we educate our employees, league employees are educated. I think everybody understands. And certainly, you know, sometimes people are better at making sure they understand than others. And, you know, that's unfortunate when players do get suspended or people get suspended. So, but I do think the league does a great job of really outlining the do's and don'ts, you know, and all the things, all the rules that apply to the NFL.
Appreciate the insight and time. As always, good sir. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Sounds good.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. I saw that look on your face, Corey. You did not think that sounded good to him. I understand.
I think he'd gotten done. He got to his destination. He did that interview with us in the truck or something.
Gotcha.
And he was like, oh man, hold on. I got a boogie. I got to get out. But he didn't want to tell us. You know, he was like, I got a commitment here, so I'm going to fulfill it.